to our staff conference and reiterated all that, even a little stronger, as a matter of fact.
So we took our
when Jack and Skip and I sat down to plan this and concluded that one of the things that we would do is have Helene come and share with us her view and from where she sees it, from her perspective as I think the only full-time girls worker in the U.S. Just her perspective on the whole matter of girls' work. But I've asked her to do more than that. This morning, as she and I were praying together, I asked her to be very candid with us and speak very directly and to call when she sees them and to anything that she would like to say that we are eager to learn, because we have concluded that we do need help in this whole matter of raising up gals who will fit into the navigator objective, either helping in the home or nav wives or girls workers or whatever form this all takes, and I'm sure it will take to all of those, that we just need help. So Helene, you're not sitting, I mean, you're not in a room full of men this morning with a bless me if you can attitude. And, you know, we're eager to learn. We're hot to hear what you have to say. And we're grateful for the fact that you have the courage. Would you like to sit here, stand here, lay some things at that table, or what would you like to do? Is that all right?
He told me this is a live mic, so
okay,
I'll
good.
Sit in front of that.
And then after Helene is finished, why, I'll ask Jack to come to the chair, and we will I'll moderate a little panel of one expert and two pseudo-experts on the whole matter of where the girls are and any questions we
I don't know why you're all so spread out. I think it's hard to get eye contact with you. I think I feel a little bit like Esther going before King Ahasuerus to represent the Israelites, but I'm glad that you're welcoming this opportunity, because I certainly have. And may I say this, that Leroy told me about this 6 months ago, and since then I have done quite a bit of traveling, not only in the United States, but in Europe. And so I took the opportunity to ask the girls who are involved with working with girls what they would like me to say to you. So it's sort of a compilation, not just of my thinking, but of the things that are on the hearts of girls around the world, because I'm also in contact with the girls in Scotty's area. If you can't hear me, move forward.
No, you're talking too loud.
Good, thank you. On his tape, Lauren said that in the next 9 years, the navigators would need about 1,000 girls to be wives, secretaries, and to marry the men connected with the organization. In the past couple of years, we've had quite a few requests for girls to go overseas or to fill slots in the States, and we have discovered that we don't have too many qualified girls around, and I'm sure that's why I'm here today. I think this has been the result, obviously, of the de-emphasis of the training of girls in the navigators. And perhaps for a while there was the assumption that girls do not require as much training to be godly as men do. Nothing could be farther from the truth. If anything, it takes more. Girls are easily distracted. And when Leroy hired me to work with girls in the Rocky Mountain region, he said, "I see no difference in the training of a girl than in the training of a fellow." And I could accept that job description because I couldn't more wholeheartedly agree with him. There are no shortcuts to training a girl. You know, women have the same need as men for purpose in life. It's easy to think that if a girl can just get married, she's got it made. But I think some of you are married long enough to know that your wives need a purpose as well as single girls. We have the need to be disciples of Jesus Christ, followers of him. I think that was the point that Jesus was making with Martha when Martha was fussing about the housework and Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. I think that Jesus was saying to Martha, Your primary responsibility, your top priority, Martha, is to sit at my feet and learn. And Mary has chosen to do that, and she was commended. And I think this is the highest calling for any woman, whether married or single, is to sit at the feet of Jesus. Another point that I might make is that over half the world's population is women. And I acknowledge that this is a men's organization, but Jesus Christ is just as interested in reaching the women of the world as the men, and we as women want to have a part of it. I remember when Warren spoke right in this room, and you all received the tape on the women's work, when he started to pray, I told him later that I had just asked the Lord to give me a piece of the action, that I was interested in having a part in raising up these women for the navigators, but primarily for Jesus Christ. Well, is there a place for women in the ministry? Is it biblical? And what was Jesus' attitude? Starting with Genesis 1:27, God created them male and female. And I believe this implies that there was equal attention to the creation of the woman as the man. In Acts 2, I have a new ladder on my Bible, so I'm going to try to use it. In Acts 2, I'm very poor at it there. On the day of Pentecost, which I believe was the beginning of the church age, Peter, in defense of the disciples who were suspected of being drunk, said to the men that they weren't drunk, but he quoted the prophet Joel. And verses 17 and 18 of Acts 2 says, "It will be in the last days, says God, that I shall pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your youths will see visions, your elders will dream dreams, and on my bondservants and my bondmaids I shall in those days pour out of my spirit, and they will prophesy." So I believe it's biblical that during this age, women as well as men be involved in the ministry. In Romans 16, 1-3, you find Paul is commending, at the end of this book, the people that have been involved in the ministry with him. And in verse 1, he talks about a woman, a deaconess, Phoebe, and I believe she's a single woman. And he says, "I present to you our sister Phoebe, so that you may receive her in the Lord's name as saints deserve, and that you may assist her in whatever matter she may have need of you, for she has been a helper to many, including me." And then, in verse 3, he talks about Priscilla and Aquila. And Coney Barenhausen points out that every time Paul refers to Priscilla and Aquila, he puts Priscilla first. And Priscilla and Aquila were involved in instructing Apollos, who was quite an apostle during that time. And they traveled, and they had a ministry among all of the churches. And he says this, "Give my greetings to Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks to save my life." As a matter of fact, one-third of this chapter, the people that are mentioned are women who co-labored with Paul in the ministry. So married or single, they were honored for their ministry. And then Jesus with women. At his birth, Mary, his mother, in Luke 1:48, says, "Though I am a lowly servant girl, all generations will call me blessed." As part of his ministry, in John 4, Jesus witnessed to the woman at the well. And he used this woman to reach a whole town of men and women for Jesus Christ. In John 8, whenever a man mistreated a woman, Jesus went to her defense. In this instance, it was the Pharisees. And he threw this woman who had been caught in the act of adultery at his feet. And Jesus not only defended her, he forgave her and liberated her. And then in Matthew 26, Mary of Bethany pours perfume on Jesus' head and feet. And the disciples said, "Why this waste?" And Jesus said, "Why do you embarrass her? She has done what she could." She has anointed me for my burial. At his death in Mark 15, 40 and 41, it tells us something about Jesus' relationships to women. There were women also looking on from a distance, among them Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James, the women who had been following him and helping him when he was in Galilee, and many others who came up with him to Jerusalem. You also find in Luke 8, 1 and 2 that women traveled with Jesus and the disciples from town to town. These women traveled with him, they ministered to him, they were protected by him and elevated. And I believe at the cross, in his hour of trial and need, these women were of comfort to him. I won't mention where the men were, but there were quite a group of women at the foot of the cross. At the resurrection, Matthew 28, 1 to 10, Jesus appeared first to women. And he entrusted the news of his resurrection to the women, and they went to tell the men, and the men didn't believe them. But Jesus was the first one to liberate women. One of you men said to me recently that you thought I was sort of the head of the women's lib movement for the Navigators. And I want to assure you that Jesus Christ is the first one. He really began the women's lib movement, not for independence, but for equality. He elevated them from a level of disrespect that they had in their day and liberated them to become his personal friends and companions. And this was all in the context of an affiliation with a men's work. Well, why do we need a girl's work in the Navigators? Number one, it's the most effective means of getting girl disciples. Two, for potential wives and girls workers. Three, for personnel needs, secretaries and helpers. And then four, for prayer and financial support.
Can you
repeat those? Yes. The most effective means of getting girl disciples, wives and girls workers, personnel needs, secretaries and helpers, and for prayer and financial support. Does anybody smoke here? This is a very dirty cup. Okay, how can a nav man successfully work with girls? Well, it's what Leroy would call gradu.
There's some more.
Is there? Okay. Number one, we need encouragement just like you do. And I think this is especially true since the cutback. A girl needs to know that you have confidence in her and be sure that you do before you give her responsibility. But I have found that when an inexperienced man is working with the girls, there can sometimes be an aura of suspicion or fear that encompasses the relationship. And this tends to demoralize a girl. We are more vulnerable and we are more insecure by nature. I say more insecure because I've discovered in working with a lot of the men that men have some insecurities too. But we need to encourage our gals in the organization. She needs to know she's making a significant contribution to the ministry. And then the second one, and this is probably the hardest one to present to you because I pray over it quite a bit, but it's the aspect of respect for women. I think coupled with the cutback was sort of an attitude of downgrading girls just in general. And I would say single girls, but I've talked to a few married gals, and I think there may be a carryover, and I'll talk about that in a minute. And some of us have had some fairly harsh remarks made to us, those of us who have been on the staff. When I was overseas, one of the staff men told me that he had sent a couple of his men for training to the United States, and it took him 2 years to work out of his men the attitude toward women that they had picked up in the United States. And I know that there's been improvement, and especially recently, and let me encourage you to accelerate this, because I think it does affect the girls' work. It certainly has affected it in Europe, where they did not have a cutback. In a way, I think that we have been advantaged, the girls have, in the United States, because it created a dearth. But in Europe, they had a continuing girls' work, and they have kind of suffered in the process. It has affected the girls to thinking that they are second-class citizens. One reason that I went through the Bible to see what Jesus thought of women, and I have never had a message that's been more popular than that one, was because as I have traveled in the States, I picked up this attitude. So I thought, well, the only way that a girl can know her own value is to see herself from God's viewpoint. And so I made a study, and some of what you're getting today is a result of that. Biblically, we are not second-class citizens. We have some different functions, but equal in value to Jesus Christ. And now this is my own personal theory, but I think that possibly some of the reasons that we have some rocky marriages in our younger generation around the Navigators is twofold. One, I think we've got some untrained girls. Now, by that, I don't mean that they haven't been through the B-rations and Bible studies, but I think the end result of training is godliness, an inner stability, a girl stabilized by the person of Jesus Christ, and then a commitment to Jesus Christ. And I think that's what takes any of us through the ups and downs of life, whether it's marriage or single. And then, too, I think perhaps some of the single men's attitudes that they have picked up toward girls when they were single, they discover when they marry them, it's maybe difficult to make a shift. Now, this is just my own philosophy, and you can shatter it if you like, but I don't think that women have difficulty serving a godly man or a man who gives them honor and respect. And I've worked with quite a few of the men in the United States, and some of them considerably younger than myself. And I've discovered that this is true, that I have no difficulty at all serving a fellow who gives me the respect that, you know, is due a woman. Jesus and Paul didn't have a problem of the girl's work. I finally told Rod after we had discussed this several times, I said, you know, it's difficult for me, Rod, to give my life to a problem. Do you give your life to the problem of the men's work? And he said, no, we've had quite a joke about that since. But I think if we approach something or a person as a problem, we get a problem as a result. Now, there are problems with girls, and there are problems with men. And I think, because this is a men's organization, one of the major problems, as Lauren pointed out, is that you just don't understand women. If it's of any comfort to you to know this, we don't understand you either. But that doesn't mean we can't work together. They had women around them that had some problems, but by and large, what I pick up from Scripture is that these women were a blessing to the men. And I think if you ask any girl around, that's really what she wants to be. And we need to help by creating an atmosphere that can develop girls this way. Okay, number three is guidelines for girls. I think we're very weak in giving girls guidelines. I've had girls say to me as I've traveled, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be doing, Colleen. Tell me how to train girls. I traveled a few months ago to an area, and there were four key girls working on, theoretically key girls, working on two campuses. And we had a little get-together, and I found out that these girls were exhausted. One of them was quite depressed. So I went around and I said, give me an outline of what you do. And as I charted their week, they had, each one of them was leading about four or five Bible studies. They were out on campus every night. If they weren't leading a Bible study, they were doing evangelism. And I said to the four of them, well, now, how many disciples do you think you have potentially in this group? And there was this dead silence. So I went around and I said, how many disciples do you have? None. One. One disciple, four exhausted girls. And their health was down, and their morale was down. Two of the girls said to me, you know, my roommate and I haven't done anything for 6 months together. So we had a very fast meeting, and I took them to a movie, and we laughed our heads off. And I thought, these girls need to learn how to laugh. They're up so tight. One of them said, I was recruited to the Navigators from another organization, but I have no idea what I'm supposed to be doing. So we need guidelines to know if we're on target. Leroy, when he gave me this job, as I've said to the men, he gave me the same guideline he gives the men, and that was do your thing. Well, I've had a little experience, so I had something to do. But he supervises and he modifies what I'm doing, and I appreciate it. I appreciate the fact that he cares that much because it helps me. I've gotten myself all bogged down in administrative activity, and Leroy's about to lift the lid on it, and I'm very grateful. But we have unqualified girls responsible for the training of others. And the place that I see this in the United States is when I go to training programs. I took a little survey last summer and found out that most of the girls that I was working through felt very, very unequipped for the job that they'd been given to do. And yet, they were asked to band a team together, counsel these girls, help them in their own spiritual lives, and most of these girls felt very, very unequipped to do it. And frankly, they were. So it seems to me that the only requirement to be a girls' leader at a training program is that you've been to a first and second level training program. And somehow I think our men are relying on the training programs to train the girls rather than doing what we do all year round with the men, and that is supplement. Some of the things that you've come out with have been excellent. They've helped me tremendously. You've had papers on training and building and teamwork. And I think the girls need to see these. Most of them had no idea that they even existed. So just as a suggestion, perhaps the girls could be listening to tapes. I know Leela Sparks has an excellent tape on man-to-man or girl-to-girl. And then there are several others that do as well. Now, as far as areas of training a girl, I think the profile of a navigator disciple would just have to put a girl's, you know, put it for a woman. Because I think it's the same. We don't have it hanging up here at our staff conference. We had it right behind us. But I'm sure you all are familiar with it. And then there are some additional areas that I feel have definitely been weakened through the cutback. And I'd like to read them to you from Titus 2, 3 to 5. It says, similarly, that the older women shall be reverent in their behavior, neither slanderers nor slaves to drink. They should be teachers of what is good. And I think primarily anything that's good must be biblical. That they may wisely train the young women to be loving wives and mothers, sensible, I think of that as being practical, chaste, pure, good housekeepers, good-natured, submissive to their own husbands, so that the word of God may not be slandered. And I think many of these areas, if not most of them, are best trained when a girl is single. I had a fellow say to me that married a girl that used to live with me, he said, Helene, in the 2 years that I've been married to her, I have never had a problem with submission. Well, I wish he could have known her when she moved in with me. She was one of the most independent little girls that I had run into. But after 3 years of help, I feel she's a real asset. And I visited their area recently, and I discovered that in addition to having a baby, she has one baby and she is carrying another one. She's involved with the ministry of the single girls, but they don't have a girls worker there. But she's able to carry on and she has a heart for it and she's efficient in it because she knows what she's doing. And it's a real load lifter to her husband. And then communications. Now, navigator policy and thinking keeps changing. Every time you have one of these meetings, you men come back with new ideas and new plans. Well, the girls need to be in on this. They might be doing something that they learned 10 years ago because nobody's updated them. And then when planning an event, it's good to get the girls' viewpoint. You know, we can program girls, and I think we have quite a bit to say, yes, sir, anything you say. And as being part of training programs, it's easy for you men to program your whole thing on a men's mentality. You make your arrangements at a training program as though all you have there are men. Now, it takes an awful lot longer for your wife to get ready, usually, than it does you, especially if she washes her hair and puts it up, doesn't it? I remember at STF, the fellow in charge, the fellows had decided that the girls would go swimming in the morning, and then come home for lunch, and then go to something else right after lunch. And I said, hey, fellows, just a minute. You know, if we're going to go swimming, you know what we're going to look like if we go out after lunch without giving girls at least 2 hours to clean up. And I know this may put some restrictions on the men, but the reputation for girls at Maranatha prior to my coming was that after the first week, girls looked pretty sad. And then the fellows would begin to complain toward the end of the program that the girls didn't look very good. But I don't think it ever occurred to them why. And I know you're going to have a marine program there this summer, but let me remind you that there's no big demand in the Navigator for girls, girl Marines. I don't know any of you fellows that want to marry a girl Marine. And those of us who are working with girls would appreciate it if you wouldn't program the girl team leaders that way. You know, I just think that we need to keep girls being girls. I don't know which one of you is Brad Adkins, but I... Ah, there you are. I saw your letter. But I, you know, I explained this to the staff, senior staff last summer, and the fellows were terrific about it as soon as I bring it up. But that's because there was a girl in the senior staff meetings making the programs, and I wasn't too fearful to bring up the fact that girls need a little time to look good. So I said, why don't you make a choice now? Do you want the girls to look good all summer, or do you want them to look, you know, like girl Marines? And they decided they wanted to look good, and it made a difference. It makes a great difference in a girl's morale, incidentally, to know that you care that much about her. Then, in this matter of communications, it's good to call up your key girl once in a while to find out how she's doing. You know, maybe she's overloaded. I was in one area this year where a girl, she had a bronchial cough, and she was coughing, I thought, from her toes up. And she'd had a cough like that for a couple of months. She had not been to a doctor. And she was, I would say, sort of low morale-wise. Well, I think the man on the scene might have heard that cough. And I finally said to her, hey, how about going to a doctor? So she went the day after I left. But I think that we need to care for the girls. Just notice how they're doing. Maybe they need a day off. Maybe they need a weekend off. A girl would be an absolute slave to you guys if you told them to take a weekend off. They think, wow, he really does care. And these are some ways, I know that you're concerned with your wives, but think that single girls are just unmarried girls. You know, they're just unmarried wives. They have the same emotional needs and so forth. And if you just sort of count on it, one reason that I recommend that one girl report to you or to your man in the area is to cut down the number of people reporting to you. And if you care for that girl and you show an interest in her health and in her spiritual growth and all of the areas that you are concerned with her, she will have the same concern for her girls. The girls that I find that are running themselves and their girls to death are the ones that don't know that it's okay to take a break. And we're having quite a few girls with ulcers and nervous problems. We have currently two of them at the office. And there's got to be a reason that we're developing this type of girl. If we're developing, maybe we've just adopted her, I don't know. And then another thing that I feel is very important is friendship. If we work on a friendship level, it's so much better than an employer-employee relationship. And I'm sure this is true with men as well. But it carries you through an awful lot more. And keep short accounts with your girls, man. And I know girls cry when you talk to them, and it makes you feel like a heel. But that's all right. You know, tough it out. One of the men in the Navigators, one day I sat down next to him, and I started to talk to him, and I got all teary. He just pulled out a drawer. He had a Kleenex in there, and he said, I have this box of Kleenex here for girls. So I helped myself to them and continued to cry and talk. I got it all out. I was fine. And he was fine. Didn't bother him at all. So if you kind of brace yourself for it, it won't bother you. But be faithful. Give her leadership, and she'll respond to you. I personally feel that a girl should report to the man, not the couple. I feel that if the wife and the girls can have a friendship, that's good. But essentially, you're the man in charge of the work, and the girl should report to you, not to a couple. It's just easier. And this will also cut down on the natural competition that there is between women. I don't know if you're aware of it. But when a woman tells a story to a man, she colors it with her thinking, just like you probably do. But I think it's something to caution husbands, you know, with their wives, that a woman gives you feedback the way she sees it, and we see things more subjectively than perhaps you do. And then another point is to program for a girl's development. Now, when you're training a man, you figure 2 to 3 years of training, 2 years at a contact point. I know a girl that we got here that had been in 3 different people's homes, had never been to a summer training program, had never lived in a girl's apartment, did not know how to follow up a girl, and really wanted to, but had no confidence. Nobody was programming for that girl. We were using her. So we need to think, what's going to help the girl next? I mean, what does she need? Does she need to go to a summer training program? Does she need to be a team leader? What's going to develop her? And then I want to put this one in, because I think it's important, is to develop her gifts. We have a lot of girls around. I think this is what perhaps created one of the problems in the past, is you have a lot of girls that are around, and they get up to be about 30, and you start to panic. What are we going to do with her? I think if we could evaluate girls earlier and see if they really do have the gifts that are good around the navigators. We have a girl in the area that we evaluate a girl about twice a year. And as the team leaders were evaluating this girl, we discovered, well, you know, she really shouldn't be around the navigators. She doesn't have anything that really qualifies her to be with us. But she's a teacher, and she has missions on her heart. Well, we told the team leader that she needed to talk to this girl and suggest that she go with another organization as a teacher. Oh, what the trauma that the team leader went through. Oh, I don't know if I can do it, you know, and all this. So she finally went and did it. And, you know, this girl has not been turned on all year. But when she found out that we thought she was ready to go overseas and serve Jesus Christ teaching missionary children, she has been turned on ever since. You know why? She sees that she can be useful to Jesus Christ with her gifts. She met me in the hall the other day, and she said, "Oh, yeah, I'm so excited about going overseas." And I thought, praise God. One less problem. Romans 12:4, one body, many members, but not all the same function. And one way to trim your girls' work down is to give them the idea of world vision and to encourage them to consider other organizations. Then it really gives your girls who are training girls an objective. Because they can pour their life into someone and know that they can fit into the body wherever Jesus Christ wants them. My last point is that we be wholehearted. If you want a girl's work, be enthusiastic and wholehearted about it. And they'll pick it up. This will solve a lot of morale problems, and it will dispel a lot of fears. And you know as well as I do that enthusiasm is contagious. So we have a biblical basis and an example of Jesus to follow in working with girls. We have a need for godly girls in the navigators. And our objective in training girls should be to develop godly disciples and to help them be fitted into the body of Christ according to their gifts and calling.
Let's see, Skip and Jack, would you join me up there by Helene, and we will continue our fellowship from that vantage point. We will look at the guys. They look at us. Thank you, Helene.
Thank you.
I am the moderator, so thank
you.
First of all, I'd like to know if either Jack or Skip
have any further comments that they would like to add, anything they'd like to say before we begin our little discussion? Skip, anything?
Oh, beautiful time. What was said?
Okay.
One word.
One word.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, Helene. Well, let's take about two or three minutes and look over our notes. And as you review what you wrote down, why, you might put a little check mark or an X beside something that you might want further help on or a question about, make a comment on, and then we'll begin our discussion. But take a minute just to look it over. I think. Isn't that true that we're the only ones that have a full-time one, Skip, as far as a girls worker and the division sort of level?
Right. With Helene's experience background, that's correct. We've got some girls in Southern Division who are working as secretaries and girls workers, but they don't have the experience.
Are they full-time in it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Who do you have?
I have Shirley Atwood in Atlanta, who worked for me as a secretary and for Don O'Neill as a girls worker. And what's your relationship with Betty in Fort Worth?
She's the primary responsible for girls in the Southwest.
Betty?
Snyder.
Oh, yeah.
It's dramatic, so.
And what is she, you say the Southwest, does she travel quite a bit and all like this, or what does she do?
Well, not a great deal. I don't feel she probably travels as much or as extensively as Wayne does, but yes. Our girls work is not developed in the Southwest.
Yeah.
If there are three apartments, girls, more work, and there are some gals in other cities.
Helene has, this year, what, you've traveled quite a bit in the division. You went to Europe for us once, and have you been in any of these guys' regions or whatever?
And yeah, Chuck Hunt had a girls' weekend conference that I went to,
and
Harvey Osmond had me over and away from Europe.
I would imagine that Helene is does the most extensive travel and probably has the biggest responsibility. But as we mentioned, there's some gals that are girls' workers in areas. Okay, Dwight?
Helene made the comment, or she was responding to something, you said girls in the same training as men. I'd like to just hear some thoughts on how we can train women to be godly and to be disciple makers, and yet help them to make the shift when they get married so that they don't feel guilty that they're raising kids and changing diapers. The domestic thing is kind of true. We train them to be godly, not only godly women, but that they can be domestic in their mentality once they become a wife.
Helene, do you have a comment on that?
I think a lot of it has to do with perhaps the orientation of the girl. I know quite a number of girls that have not had a particular problem with that. I think they're in any situation, you're going to have some that do, a percentage that will, and they need help. I remember you brought this up a number of years ago, and I asked you if the wife had any other problems. You know, I'm sure that there are some other adjustments besides just this one to married life. And I think that all she needs to do is get back to the bottom and find out what her responsibilities are as a wife. And see, this is where if you train a girl to respond to the Word of God rather than just to man's word, she'll make her adjustment. It may take a little time, but I think she can make it.
Excuse me, let me pursue that a minute. Skip, you've had in your division some gals, workers. I use the word, I use plural, but I can think of one particularly who was a highly efficient girl worker and now married to a NAV rep. Think of Joanne. What has been her adjustment here or whatever?
Beautiful. Just, she was with Walt for several years and now she's in Coarse Region. But as far as I know, in my time with Ken and Joanne, she's just blended beautifully. It's been a, it's just zero problem.
I was thinking of John's wife. What's her name? Nancy. I met her. How has it been with your situation, John? Would you recommend marrying?
She's been with babies and diapers this last year. She still had a ministry with girls, nonetheless. Of course, toned down and fantastic. It was zero for probably a half year.
She's a pretty good wife.
Pardon me?
She's a pretty good wife.
Excellent.
Would you recommend marrying a NAV trained gal?
Amen. Seriously, it's just such a blessing to me. I feel she understands what I'm doing, and it hasn't been a problem for her at all to have babies, to cook, to clean house.
We have one situation similar to John's home, and that is Bob and Pat up at Greeley, Pat Lovelace. Before she was married, was a girl worker, and I have had nothing but excellent reports from Bob. And Pat seems to really groove on it. You know, she thinks it's a good experience for her, and she loves it, so... I don't think, Dwight, as we check specific cases. Let me call on Roger. Roger, you've probably had some situations in Great Britain, haven't you, where there's been some gals who are pretty heavily involved in ministry and then gotten married to some of the guys?
For example, Ian Monroe, who's in your region, I'm not aware. I'm not upstate the last year. You would be upstate on that one. She was led to Christ by one of our girls' workers, followed up, became a disciple, was my secretary for a while, and Ian fell in love with her. And the coming TAR, the same situation, the type of girls that are marrying, I'm not aware of any problems, but there could be.
Dean, do you have a comment?
Well, on that big point, that Vicky's got more grace, and there doesn't seem to be any problem at all. But I was wondering if maybe the problem is with the younger wives who have not had the experience of being effective girls' workers, and therefore they feel insecure about the whole thing. See, Nancy doesn't feel insecure about it. She knows she can work with girls. She's done that. God bless her. But to get the wife who kind of gets the feeling she ought to be able to work with girls, but she's not sure she can, and so then she's insecure about it. And that's where the problem is more.
Than that. He's hit pretty much on the head.
And this was my point on the competitiveness between women, that if you have an experienced girls worker and a wife that feels a little bit insecure, you may have a problem with that.
Warren? Excuse me, Bob. I'll get to you. Warren, how do you stand
it? I'm wondering if there's a general pattern of verifying himself in a girl, like there seems to be among men, so many years it is, and that has experience. Is there any kind of pattern that aligns with?
Well, it's something I'd like to see. I've been suggesting it in our region here, and that is that when a girl gets engaged, a girl as far as being trained in a single situation, once she gets engaged, she's immediately clicked off. You know, she's got one objective, and rightly so. But if she could live, say, for 6 months prior to marriage with a married couple, a navigator couple who would be an example of what it's like to be married, I think it'd be very much an asset.
Shut up. Prior to that, going through the DM, and I suppose she had a gift for the girls workers and all of these tiny types of experience on to girls workers.
I don't understand.
We have our contact points, and we have several levels of experience and responsibility like what you guys do.
Do you have a comment to this?
Maybe clarify the question. Should we start thinking of developing some more full-time drill workers? When we get to see, like, Helen comes out, she says all our key girls are either tired or sick. Well, that's because they're overworked.
Or inefficient, or inefficient.
Cutting down on their secular job, more time to move in, so we continue to push your course. Because you're really late trying to grow in that
direction. Training, seminars, this type of thing. I think to answer Bob's question, I think that from what we get from the bridge, you know, down, that yes, we do need girls workers. We're getting requests from girls workers overseas, and these will continue, I'm sure. Guys in our areas, you know, will there be a girl available to help in thus and so and this and that? And it's generally in just the girls' ministry on that campus. So I think, yes, we're going to need to figure out some ways to get some girls prepared to go into this ministry full-time, more than we have now. And this would bring up the whole question of maybe some, like local girls' seminars. Jack points out, you had one, didn't you, Jack? And maybe we could find out what others are doing along this line. Why don't you tell us about the one you did?
Well, we've had several. We had a division-wide one last Thanksgiving at the same time we had the Wing Ding in Chicago. And that was a three-day affair. And then I know Chuck Hunt has had three or four deals. I know Lauren White has. You guys just might mention what you did. I can't think if there was others. Chef, I don't remember what you did or not. Oh, we had one up in Lansing. Chuck, why don't you mention what you've done this past year?
We did a weekend. Each area gave up quantity, two girls, their best girls, three girls work early, or whatever they had. We got together every month, and since there was no girl out there that I could draw from to train girls, I decided I'd do it, or draw people in, or whatever we could do. We used tapes, and we used Jody Baker as a resource person, which was pretty much to our advantage, since she lived right there. And I found, even though we didn't always have a girl on the scene to do the training, the girls, the interchange between them was outstanding. And one of the byproducts that I was not shooting at, but that took place was a sense of unity, and esprit de corps and direction among girls. They really felt like they were part of the upper Midwest. You know, men get together and shoot for unity and this objective and so on. Well, now the girls sense that. They never sensed that before. And they came back with a fighting spirit. So it was really excellent. And then some real training did take place. For instance, we played, we had one whole weekend. We would take one major topic for the weekend, and one topic was on teams, and so we played legal or three tapes on teams and teamwork. And then the girls tore into it. And they have the ability to take a general topic in a male atmosphere and break it down to the girls, especially when they're together like that. And they got quite a bit out of that. And other times, other topics. We would take a major topic like person-to-person training or evaluating and making disciples. We would take a major topic each weekend. We did it about once a month.
What steps are you taking now out of these girls that we're in touch with up there? Chuck, what steps are you taking to prepare one or two or whatever to fill a girls' worker slot somewhere? Do you have some step?
First of all, I sat down and decided to plan the girls just like I do the men.
Career plan.
I have a chart, you know, for the men. Little arrows down how many years, and so I have exactly the same thing for the women. It's a little more nebulous for the marriage and that sort of thing. It's a more unexpected thing. One thing is, I shifted one girl. Well, we are in dire need of girls, like anyone. But I decided to hurt myself for the next two or three years
and pull girls out of slots that they could fill and for training for a year or 2 years. Since they didn't go through that prior contact point cross training that a man does, they are already in there and didn't get it. Pull them out and let them get it now. It may be a little late, but it's still there. One girl will be with Belinas year, and we have signed in blood that we'll get her back.
We'll be happy to send her back.
Another girl will also be out for training this year. Then next year we have planned two more girls to be out for training. And these two girls that are out this year, this coming year, that is, will go back in to a responsibility. And we're just doing little things like this.
I think that Chuck's outlook on this is quite commendable, and it would probably behoove us all to think through on a little career plan for some of these top gals that we have around. And one thing that we have done about a month ago or so, I forget just how long it was, we decided that we would utilize Helene where the need was the greatest, and so we have asked her to relinquish some of the local responsibilities here in Colorado Springs and establish an apartment, or a little larger than an apartment, possibly a townhouse or something out here in the city, where our top gals can come and live with her for a year to kind of polish them up and give them some further deeper training in this business of being a gals worker and then going back to the local area and putting it to work. And I don't know just how much we have right now or how much room we have, but if any of you have a gal that is really, you know, at that level, why, you might talk to Helene and see if she could incorporate it in somehow.
You will never imagine the look you just got.
Take a whole apartment.
Yeah, we'll take over the whole townhouse. No, I think that we, this year, we're it's pretty tight, but I know that just as Helene was able to do with Chuck and one of his top gals, I think we would be happy to negotiate on something like this, Helene, if we had the space and whatever.
How about a house, Helene?
A four-story house.
Helene had drawn a four-story house with
20 bedrooms. Let's
see, we had Bob Bird next. Did you have a comment, Bob? Excuse me.
It's all lost.
Okay.
I have a question on this comment about the gal reporting to the man rather than the couple. I know you know more about it than I do, but as I apply that to my own situation, I have some questions. My wife knows so much more about girls than I'd ever begin to know. I know that a gal needs some interest from the guy who's in charge of the area, and that I would be more than happy to provide, and I have an interest.
That could be the understatement of the year, by the way, that she has a need for some interest in the guy that's responsible.
Yeah, well, I don't have a girl, so at this point,
yeah.
We have someone coming in, and she's living in our home now, and I'm real interested in her. She's a great girl. But, I really value my wife's interpretation of what's going on with the girl. In fact, without that, I'd be helpless. And, I realize that the possibility exists that she would color some of the information, but I'm much less afraid of that than my insensitivity to girls' real needs.
Excuse me, Helene, I think that we sparked a comment from Brad here. Do you have a comment to his question?
I was going to ask basically the same question, but also because you commented that men don't understand women, and that really is kind of this offender on the problem here, is that the girls report to me that I don't understand girls.
And
they don't understand men, so they start crying. I don't know what they're crying about.
Probably they don't either, but, I thought it was better. Lauren?
I don't operate like this. I believe that what the girls really need help in is the area of the ministry. And I can help somebody in the area of ministry, but the personal things of which it's best for a woman to share with another woman, my wife takes care of.
So I've been meeting with two girls all year, and I'm responsible for the ministry, and my wife is responsible for the personal area, and they love it. He said, we know what to do in ministry now. We've never known before. And that's the way I operate, and it works.
Let's get Harv's comment, and then we'll see if what Helene's...
Yeah, well, it's pretty much on the same thing, Lee, that the girl, Marsha Bart, that's in charge of our girls work throughout the region, she meets with our team leaders and staff on occasions to make decisions on seminars and so on. And I meet with her personally in regard to the transfer of girls from place to place, the placement of girls. So again, relating to the ministry techniques, but in regard to her personal development and her personal life, Maydell and she get together on a regular basis, both in Bible study and in personal friendship times. And again, Marsha requested that we set it up this way.
Now, unless I'm mistaken, I think that's what Helene recommended, but I'll let Helene speak to it for herself. Is that kind of the idea? Or?
Yes. I didn't mean to negate the ministry of your wives, if they can be involved and want to be. I think sometimes of the younger wife that has not had much training that's around now, not necessarily on this level, but the younger ones, where they probably wouldn't feel qualified. But I think it's great as long as you're responsible for the ministry. I'm directing this at Chuck. You know, I think the man should be responsible for the direction of it, but I think girls can get together and plan things and present them and save you a lot of the time involved in this type of thing. And if your wife's involved in it and wants to be, I think that's tremendous. I'm for wives having a ministry, man. I really am.
Let me ask now, I think we've got a pretty interesting point right here, and it would help clarify quite a few things. The girl needs to know who she reports to, what her job is, just like a man does. Remember the organizational thing he asked to, what's my job, who I report to, so on, what's expected of me. Helene's comment was that she report to the man, get her direction from him as far as the ministry is concerned. The wife can be the buddy and the, you know, prayer partner, whatever. Is this the way you would see it? Is this the way you would like to go?
No, I'm very favorable with that, lady. Yeah, beautiful. I know. Don and Elaine have an interest. They stay close to Shirley, keep up on all of her evenings and weekends, time off, the whole nine yards. And I'm sure it's the same way with Walt. Yeah.
Jackie,
you
got a comment here?
I'm sorry.
Excuse me.
Well, just to emphasize what Helene said, I think at this level there's not much of a problem. But when it gets down, like she said, to the younger guys who have young wives who may not have had the ministry experience, that it may be a little greater problem with an insecurity on the part of a young wife who doesn't feel that she has had that much ministry experience in even dealing with girls. And of course, this to me gets into the whole issue of, boy, when these guys get engaged, brother, we got to see that gal gets the help that she needs to be prepared to be a navigator wife.
Roger, you had a comment, I think, didn't you?
Just to clarify, after you shared that it's very important that there has to be a strong line of responsibility. The man has committed himself to that girl, heart, mind, soul, and the girl knows that, has a responsibility. I just emphasize that.
I know when I had the local ministry here, from time to time I would get all the girls together some evening and just share. If I was doing a Bible study in some book, I'd take them through the first eight chapters or something, you know. Just an evening in the Bible with them, just to let them know that I knew they were there and that they were doing something. And it seemed to meet a need, and they seemed to appreciate that.
Without that commitment of a heart, these things are transmitted to girls. In other words, the thing that motivates me on this, I've got some promises I believe that God's given me. That motivates me to do what I do in England.
Mm-hmm.
And that's transmitted. If it isn't, it can be just a superficial situation, which could cause problems. You know what I mean? It's on paper, the man is responsible, but in heart,
yeah,
he really isn't. And that's transmitted. That's when you start getting a problem with it. The man's organs, it just doesn't work that way. Cerebral result.
Jack has a comment. Well, it's a change of subject, but I would like to just emphasize something that Helene mentioned. But it deserves more than just being mentioned, and that is that there is, other than just the physical, there is a tremendous difference between men and women. And though I don't think we will ever get to the place where we understand them, we can do an awful lot to understand why they respond and why they act the way they do, because God has made them different. And Carol and I have gone around and around on this, and we've done some study and research on it. And I spoke to our staff last January when we were here, the husbands, on the difference between men and women. And I also did it over in Europe. When I was over there, and I got some interesting comments on it. A couple of guys commented that for the first time they understand why their wives do what they do the way they do them. Well, it's not just wives, but it's women. Like Helene, for instance, mentioned that gals tend to be more subjective. Men tend to be more objective. Well, that sets up a whole chain reaction of different responses to the same situation. And I think we as men need to do some research and study on this so that we realize that there are differences between men and women because God made them that way. We need not be ignorant of these things, brethren, because we can find out. As I say, we'll probably never get to the place where we really understand them, and vice versa, but we can know some things.
Is there a tape available on this, Jack? Or did you speak into the mic and they have it back there in the...
No.
It's all part of the secret of the tribe, huh? Is there a book out on this that you would recommend?
Yeah, but I can't think of what... There's a couple of them that I can't remember. And there's a record also by a Catholic priest.
Battle of the Sexes. I just wrote that down.
Yeah.
I have a copy of that record. I'd be glad to put it on cassette and distribute it. That's an excellent...
Yeah, I don't buy everything he says, no. But he really does get across on this point of the difference mm-hmm. between men and women. And it's sure. Well worth listening to.
There's some excellent proof on that in our conference. Chocolate.
George Sanchez has some information on this.
Right.
Excuse me, Dean, and then Chuck.
Well, along these lines, Lane, you said in your presentation, quoting Leroy also, that training women is basically the same as training men. And I'm wondering, in light of what we're saying here about the differences between men and women, I'm wondering about that. And I have tended to take the approach of the campus ministry that you don't have a girl's work. Because, you know, you have one campus, it's not like the military ministry where you have men over here and there's a working girl or something, but, I mean, they're all there in the same campus, they come to the same meetings, they go to the same classes, so you have one work. But I've been wondering if some of our problem is not being more effective with the girls. For instance, in Boulder, the girls' work has been a real weakness, and one of the problems has been perhaps that we don't know how to train girls, and... I even wonder if training girls is the same as training men, why aren't we doing it more effectively since we seem to know how to train men? So that's the question I have, Lee.
I don't think I said that. I think I said the extent of training or the amount of training is the same. It's not the method. It's not always the same.
Well, if it's different and you can help us on that, that's something that I think would be important because I think we need to know how it's different what we should. For instance, the thing I run into is I find when the ministry begins to grow, so I begin to kind of divvy things down and give guys responsibility and teams and dorms and things. And I try to send it to the girls, it doesn't work in the same way. So then, you know, they can't take that leadership responsibility.
responsibility the same way the men can, and I try to figure out how to, what adjustments should be made.
Further comment?
Yeah, too big a question right here.
Well, I don't. I hate to take to involve personalities, but I think in some instances that the girls that you were giving the responsibility to had not developed spiritually to be able to take it. And I know that's exactly what you're saying. Why is the issue? That I know.
We're mature enough for it.
Yeah, you wouldn't give responsibility to an immature man.
No.
So it's the same principle involved.
Mature girl, we just don't have any mature girl around, we end up doing it. Well, then this relates to this thing we were asking about, or that Bob was asking about, girls being full-time in ministry. I've been wondering if we should make an effort to make more of the full-time. I remember when Joanne Ray came to Boulder for a semester. Well, she was pretty frustrated, and I had to admit, if I had been in her shoes, trying to, you know, be a nurse and really take do something in the girls' ministry, pretty tough job. And when she was asked to go overseas, which was one of the most attractive things about it, she could be full-time over there. She was full-time in ministry now.
Chuck?
I have a question specifically in one area of training a girl. It seems to me the girls are more prone to have problems with one another. They get, she doesn't think this about me, and they get these little deals that the men seem like petty stuff. But, you know, it's very real. And I'm wondering, like in a situation where I've had with a girl trying to help her in an apartment situation where they had some problems like this, just in the old everyday, getting along with one another, and some sin comes in. Is this a matter of degree with girls? Can some girls move into something like that and straighten that out better than some girls? Are do all girls find difficulty in encountering those type of situations? I mean, is that harder for them?
Shouldn't be.
Just a matter of training.
I have a message I worked up for this very reason on the subject of honesty that I have been delivering, and this is the very issue that to be biblical, to be godly, you get these things out, or you take care of them before God, but you don't let them build up. And I don't have difficulty handling it. I think with girls, I think here again is the issue of commitment to Jesus Christ. Am I willing to risk being not liked by someone in order to be honest? And there again, women are more subjective and more insecure. And so if you have your lead girl who is afraid that she's going to lose some of her friends, that's where commitment to Jesus Christ and training disciples comes in.
Howard, you had a question? A comment? And then Jerry.
On the my question is relating to what extent of responsibility do you give the girl who is in charge of the work, such as Marcia is for ours. I've asked her to develop some kind of a girl's activity once every 4 to 6 weeks, and where they either go to the beach or they do something on a weekend together, which they are on that weekend unrelated to what the other team functions are doing. These girls come from a number of teams, and they number about 100 now. And now I've asked her generally to come up with her own ideas on what to do, and if she wants to have a girl come in to speak or something, or have one of the men come to speak. I've had her come up with the basic ideas. Now, is that right, or is that too much pressure on her?
Leroy does that with me. He lets me figure stuff out, and then I give him an idea of what the girls have come up with, and he either says yes, no, or great. But I think girls, just like with you men, you tend to know what your need is at the moment. I really think that's good.
I think Helene brought out that not only let them plan things like this, but when there's an area function, get the girl's viewpoint as well. Make sure that you got a girl's viewpoint in on the thing so that it has a little balance, or she may add something that you'd totally forgotten, you know. So not only let them plan things for themselves, which they're capable of doing and probably get excited about, but make sure you got a gal's viewpoint
in some event or something that you have coming up. I know when Helene told me about her experience at Maranatha, one of these girls to hop up and hop out and hop to, and what there was, I don't know how many showers and two showers and 8 billion girls and all that wet hair, and you got to figure out how to cope with all that wet hair, and so they get the girls' viewpoint. I didn't think about wet hair, but they think about that. So somewhere, if you get a girl's viewpoint across the board, there's light that comes into the thing, because there's a blind spot here that we have on a lot of things. Let's see, hold it. Who was it next? Jerry, yes. And then Jeff? Okay.
What we've talked about mostly in terms of girls workers are those who have area responsibility. In other words, the girls' responsibility to the area rep. Now, in the position that many of us are in now is a supervisory responsibility where we have a couple area reps or so who have girls workers with them, either full or part-time. I like some ideas on what are our responsibilities to that girls worker. For instance, do I totally invest the area rep with the responsibility for all communication to that girl? Do I occasionally include her in on a regional staff meeting? Do we consider her on the regional staff? Or what would the case be in that? Do you see what I'm getting at, Wayne?
So you'll have two in your area next fall.
That's correct.
If not three.
Yeah,
well, I think they'd be very flattered and complimented if they thought that at some events you included them. It may be like Leroy does, after you've had a big planning thing, then he invites me in and lets me know what's going on. Sometimes I'm, in on the planning. I don't think that... I think if they qualify to be regional staff, they should be. And I think the two girls that you have, one should be, and the other should be given a year. And then perhaps put on, because you've got two pretty well qualified girls.
Let me just give you a tip that I have found that doesn't take a lot of time. But like if I go visit an area, I think the last time I was I visited here was at Fort Collins, and we've got Russ Johnson's sister up there who's kind of responsible for the girls. She's got a full time job and everything, but she's there as a kind of a girls worker, quote unquote. And my schedule for the time was very heavy. They had me booked from the time I arrived to the time I quit, and had forgotten to include any time for her in the thing, see? So after we'd finished our meal, we were on the lawn picnicking. I said, Marine, fix me a cup of coffee. So we went into the little place there, and she fixed coffee, and we puttered around and made it together and talked about the coffee and about making the coffee and this and that and the other thing. And then I sipped coffee for about 30 minutes before we went to the rally, just the two of us. It took a little figuring out how to squeeze that in, but I did it. When I went to visit Sweden, for instance, they had me scheduled pretty heavily and no time in the girls' apartment. So I, raised an objection and got over with Anne and her girls, and we sat and had an evening together, and they made all kinds of Danish goodies, and we ate them, or Swedish goodies, or whatever it was. And, if when you come through, so you're the big deal. You're the regional director of all things. And if you sip a cup of coffee for 30 minutes with the local gal, man, that really means a lot to her. But you got to think about that and figure out how to do it. And then train your area rep, maybe even schedule in some time for the girl.
They won't think of it.
Probably not, huh?
They'll think you don't want to do that.
Yeah. Well, it's something you got to work on, but it really means a lot to that little old gal to know that you know her name and that you want to talk to her a little bit. Who?
Lauren Sanning.
Lauren Sanning wants to say something. yes, sir. Bob, Lauren, I was going to suggest that maybe you'd like to wrap this up with a 5-minute comment at the end. Okay. Bob?
It just seems to me, Leroy, that we need to... we tend to have contact points with no previous experience in working with girls. And that in our training syllabus or our career plan for the man, we need to get some thought to when is he going to get trained in how to think girls. And I used this in Madison. I had three guys up there, two of which will start their contact points this fall. And I determined in September of last year that they would handle the girl's responsibility. I gave them each a girl team leader who was an MDM and who had maybe 10 to 15 girls underneath them. And, of course, the first few months, my phone would ring, and the girls would be on the phone. They'd want to know about buying this car, or what should I do about this. And I'd say, well, phone will open long, or phone Gary Lay, whoever they belong to, and let those guys make those decisions on the girls. Then Friday afternoons, we'd spend, the three of us, the three team leaders, men team leaders, we would spend, and we'd talk about the ministry. And I'd help those guys to think, girls, and how to, you know, how are you going to handle this situation, how are you going to handle this. And we need to be honest with these men we're sending out on contact points, and we short-circuit training if they don't get something in the area where they're directly responsible. Not just that they have a girl, a team of girls who come over and has a rally with them, but where they're responsible for decisions.
Yeah.
And that's important.
Good point. Lauren?
Well, I look at the first part. I know you talked about it. Another aspect of this that lingers back in mind, at least it does in mind, and that is the sex aspect of all this. That I think that most of us know that a girl or a woman may be a gentle man, and that personal warmth is a important factor, I think, in making a girl feel part of the work. But I can't speak for all men, but I can speak for some, that there is quite a subtle line when personal warmth becomes more than personal warmth. And there's a lingering fear in the back of some of us that makes us want to sort of stiff arm. We're afraid to get too close. And I think that this has been felt by some girls and maybe misinterpreted. But it's not a coldness, it's more of a fear. And I was wondering if you girls are aware of this, what you could advise us men as to what's warmth and what's too far. I think some help along this line would be practical.
Well, I had one man working with me in Denver that I worked under. And he simply said that he instructed me, and it gave me the opportunity to instruct the girls around us to keep a certain distance from men and to not get too personal, because we could create a problem for a man, whether he's single or married. And I think the fact that he took me into his confidence this way brought it to my mind again to make an emphasis with the girls on it. And I think if you men are honest with the girls that you're working with, I don't think know of any girl that really wants to cause a man a problem unless she has a problem that has not been handled in this area. But I think Jake Combs was the one that got up at Maranatha once. I wasn't there, but he said to the girls, would you help us out? Would you help us men out? And he went down a list of the things that bother men that girls do. And I think it was quite an eye-opener to some girls, because I think most girls are oblivious to it. Does that answer your question, Lorna? I'm not sure, but partly.
It doesn't for me.
It doesn't?
Because you sit right on the head of what I face. In many ways, I'm afraid to display the interest that I have for fear that I cross this line. Now, I know that I was with Skip once, and Skip seems to be a master at, you know, he can shake the hand and hug the gal, and that's Chuck. So
in being myself, I know that maybe I create the impression that I'm not interested. But I tell like a girl at home, I occasionally check her and I say, you know, in my awkward way, I just check her. And in terms of technique, I know that I've got about five thumbs and all the rest. But that's a very genuine problem. Maybe it's worrying that I'm going to cross that line and exceed my limits.
I don't think shaking a girl's hand would probably do that, unless you held it too long.
I think we ran into a situation in Germany that might be helpful. In working with girls, we found that the girl took the initiative to arrange a little party for a few guys in the area, and they had them over to the apartment without my knowledge. And I was away out of the area at that time and came back and I had a pretty swinging deal going. And so we sat down and we talked, the two girls and my wife. And I think that there's a point where we can talk to them as individuals. We can have our wives talk to them and we can talk to them as a couple. And it seems like the counseling in some of these intimate areas as a couple is a real significant barrier breaker for my own personal life as well as theirs. And as we talked about some of the problems involved in the closed door relationship with a young single guy who is rebounding from a love affair, as we talked about the physical aspects involved and some of the thought processes that this guy goes through in that situation and what could exist in his heart that would be a problem in that situation, man, it was a door opener to them. And I found that my own relationship with her or with both the girls took a significant change because we had verbalized the problem. And I noticed that many times we're afraid to broach these subjects with a single girl because of problems in our own lives, weaknesses. And I think if we expose some of these things and talk about them, God is able to give us a relationship that's healthy. And I think that, I really would have to take issue that we will never understand them. Because I think the Bible says that we can get wisdom and we can get understanding if we're willing to be honest with them and with ourselves and take the time to explore these areas with them. And
We have time for maybe one more comment. Was it your end, LaSalle Warren?
Yeah, I just want to say that I kind of have a rule with girls is always meet them in public places and not meet them, like in our home, we always meet at the dining room table. So there's always a time when my wife walks back and forth and just makes a situation in which there's never any question about.
Skip, I'd like to ask if you have another comment or any wrap-up comment you'd like to make. Jack, you the same. I just have one. It's a very technical thing. And that is that someone mentioned the girl's car. Don't forget that girls do drive cars, and they don't know anything about cars. So they have rear-view mirrors that fall off. They have tires that get bald. They have trunks that leak. They have shocks that go bad, and they don't realize any of this stuff. So somebody in your area should take the responsibility to keep an eye on the girl's car and help her not to get gypped when she buys tires, to maybe even go have the oil changed for her, or something, but keep up on the thing. Because all they know to do is, turn on the key and point it forward, and that ends that. Whereas I think it is something that we can do that shows interest and is very helpful and cuts down a lot of expense if you can just keep her eye on this thing. Skip, do you have any comment of any kind you'd like to make?
Very, very happy. Grateful. Thank you.
Jack?
No. Good word.
Lauren, any wrap-up comment?
Yes, 1 Timothy 5:1. Treat older women like mothers
younger women, my sisters, in all purity.
Amen. Lawyer Whitehouse, would you close in prayer, please?
Father, we thank you for this morning. We give you praise and thanks for the privilege to talk about these things together. And we do ask you, Lord, that in the work throughout the world, that you raise up young men who love Jesus Christ and who are godly. And we trust you that you will do this in and through our ministry. In Jesus' name, amen.